This past year has been a very troublesome year for many. And for some, most difficult, and yet for others, challenging in more than one ways or another. But either way, we have all been affected in one way, shape, or form, some in more painful ways than others. And we ask why. Why is all of this happening? I heard just the other day that one pastor says that some Christians have more problems now since they became Christian than when they were not. And goes to show that we were never promised a bed of roses, but that there will be things in our life, in our pathway, in our journey as we go along. We have all been affected, paying more for housing, clothing, groceries, gasoline, transportation, medical care, goods, services, recreation, education. And we even ask, how is the average American family survive? Everyone had to make adjustment, whether we like it or not, in this last year. And not to mention the pandemic, which has altered all of our lives and brought great pain and suffering in some cases. I remember last year, ending of July, beginning of August, when we were confined in our home for over 2 weeks. And that's not my style. I just want to break out and get outside there and do my thing. But all of us have been affected by this. Bill Gates, who is the co-founder of Microsoft and the fourth richest man in the world with a net worth of $135 billion, said, and I quote, he said, 2021 has been the most unusual and difficult year. My personal world has never felt smaller than it did over the last 12 months, he said. In light of his divorce after 27 years, he went on to say, I cannot deny that it has been a year of great personal sadness for me. He said, adapting to change is never easy, no matter what it is. You would notice that he did not use the word pain in however he described whatever was happening in his life. But he did say, great personal sadness for me. And me reading that, I can almost sense his pain because of what he was going through in life at that particular moment. We are going to be facing today or talking about leaving the past behind. I don't know what is your pain. I don't know what has been your pain. But how can we find a way, regardless of what that is, by the grace of God, to leave that behind us? And I know in some cases that might be very difficult to do. Some people, if not many, the majority of people have difficulties with the past, much less leaving the past behind. They want to move on in life. They want to leave everything, but the past seems to come up and to surface itself either by situation or by circumstances, and even by the people who were close to us, who would say things like, you remember what you did. You remember what you say. You remember what happened. Worse yet, the enemy Satan loves to bring up our past and throw it in our faces and tell us that we are losers, failures, and we would never move to be a better person because of our past. But folks, today we need to remind Satan, we need to let him know that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. We need to remind him that the past is under the blood. We need to remind him, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. We need to trust God and believe that the job is done and leave the past behind. As we look at this a little bit closer, I would like to share a passage of scripture with you, and the Apostle Paul, of what how he's saying of how we can leave the past behind and what he went through. And this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the guy who is telling us to leave the past behind. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am not out of my mind like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one." They could have said 39, and that would have been okay. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pleasure of my own concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show me my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. We'll stop there. But this is the Apostle Paul who is saying that I want you to leave the things behind, leave the past. With all that he has been through, he's challenging us. And I believe also that what he's saying is that if I can leave the past behind by the grace of God, you too can do the same, to leave the past behind in spite of all that you have been through, especially some of the painful times. Our main scripture today is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. And I would like to for you to follow on. It should be on the screen, the PowerPoint. Here he's saying, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I pressed on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward through Jesus Christ." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. only let us live up to what we have already attained. Leaving the past behind, how do we do that? As we anticipate the next 12 months, some people might eagerly look forward to each day or what each day will bring. But on the other hand, others might be filled with dread and worried that this year will be worse than the last. How we react to the events of this coming year will determine whether it is a year of victory or a year of defeat. Only to say that whatever happens to us, that our attitude towards it makes all the difference in the world. We have the power to change whatever comes our way or what others think that how they may affect our lives, especially for the negative. The Apostle Paul was never one to let circumstances take hold of him or conquer him in any way. What an amazing man he was. John Henry Jowett, the outstanding English poet or preacher, he once said, "If ever a man lived the victorious Christian life, Paul was that man." How did he do it? What were the principles that led him to greatness? And first of all, I want us to focus on that he stayed focused on his goal. He says that, "I know Christ, but I'm not there yet. I'm getting there." And he stayed focused on that goal so that he can know Jesus Christ better. Because it says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I pressed on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me." Jesus took hold of him on the Damascus Road. And since that day, he wanted to know more about Jesus Christ and how can I get closer to him. So first of all, we stay focused on our goal by trying to know Christ better. Paul says that his goal was to know Christ. And folks, that I hope that our goal in life, in the Christian journey, is that we want to know Jesus Christ of all who he is, what he can do, how he can make things happen. That should be our number one goal. What would you say, or what would your answer be if you were to ask yourself, "How well do I know Christ?" He knows us very well, but how well do we know him? Do we know him well enough? All that I need to know of him, or I am satisfied with what I know? But are we afraid to know him any better because of what he may want to ask us to do? Have you ever thought about that? If I get to know him better, he's going to ask me to do this. It's like this guy was in the institution and he had a wheelbarrow and he was pushing it upside down. And someone asked him, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "If I pushed it the other way around with the wheel, they're going to put stones in it." You know, how well do we know Christ? And what does it mean for us to know Christ? To have a clear perception or understanding, to be sure of or well informed of who Jesus Christ is. How do we get to know him? To be aware of, to perceive, to know that one is love, to have a firm mental grasp of Jesus Christ, to be acquainted or familiar with all who Jesus Christ is. The first principle that led Paul to greatness was concentration. He was focused, he was concentrated, all his mindset was to know Jesus Christ, to know him of all who he is. I like the Living Bible makes the idea very vivid. In verse 13 he says, I am bringing all my energies to bear on one thing. All my energies to bear on one thing. And that is to know Jesus Christ. Paul concentrated everything that he had to know Jesus. Stay focused on your goal. Know to know Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus Christ. When we focus on our goal. To be in agreement. And to put into practice all that Jesus Christ stands for. That is to be like Christ. To imitate Christ. His ways. To emulate Christ. His characteristics like his love, grace and mercy. His compassion, his forgiveness. His understanding, his insight, his judgment. His patience, tolerance, his concern. His watchfulness and care. I want to emulate Jesus. Don't you want to do the same thing? To be perfect as we focus on our goal. God wants us to strive for perfection. And this is not absolute perfection. For no one can be perfect like Jesus Christ or like God. But we can be perfect in our walk and in our talk with him. What this means is that we must perfect the light that Christ has given us. As we continue on the journey, he will be showing us different things in our walk and talk with him. And once we conquer that, and once we grow to manage that and to move on, we have become perfect in that respect. And then what happens next? He opens a new door for us. He's showing us more things and different things. And when we conquer that, we have become perfect. And so he's telling us that, I want you to be perfect. So stay focused on your goal. Secondly, we need to forget the past. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. If you have watched the Olympics, just as the winner about to embrace that tape, they just lean forward like that, straining towards that. The very last energy or what they had, they're just wanting to push it through and to do that. As humans, you know, God has created us with this incredible ability to remember things. And I'm going to tell you a story that happened 50 years ago. That kind of aged me about how old I probably, 22, 21 at that time. My grandmother lived in the community where I pastor a church. And I was living like 10, 15 miles away from there. And he wanted to see me and to talk to me. And he knew that I pastored the church in the community. And the pulpit was like right there. There was a bridge where you walk from the blacktop to come into the church. And she came and she sat in the middle of that bridge. I am preaching and I'm looking at my grandmother sitting right there because she wanted to make sure I would have to walk over her if I need to go by. But she wanted me to do that. And that was her idea. And I remember that. You can go back and remember stories from so many years back. But we need to forget the past, and we need to forget our resentments. For whatever reason, some people may be holding resentment against someone or some people. And all that does is create bitterness and anger and more problems, even in some cases, crippling our lifestyle and slowing us down from focusing on Jesus. How do we do that? The Apostle Paul is trying to tell us that we should leave the past behind. It was said of Abraham Lincoln, "His heart was as great as the world, but there was no room in it for the memory of a wrong." What words? If somebody did something to you last year, forget it and move on. If someone said something to you, however nasty that may have been, forget it and just move on. But how do we forget it? Only by the grace of God. God can give us the grace. But you say, "Pastor, you don't know and you don't understand what I went through." And you are right, I don't. And my heart breaks for all the hurts that are out there. But it also breaks for the hurt that people do to themselves when they hold on and nurture the hurts of the past. When someone can get you to stoop down and get you to do the negative things that you're not supposed to do or you shouldn't be doing, they win. We want to forget the past. We need to forget the resentment that there is. I remember Paul's pain when he says that, "I want you to leave the things behind." Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Paul held the coats of those guys who stoned Stephen to death. And he's telling us, "I want you to leave the past behind." He would have to leave that behind and to allow God to have total and full control in his heart and life. And even you may be thinking about the worst thing that ever happened to you and how you would leave that behind you. We need to forget our failures. All of us have come short. We have made our mistakes in life. But we need to leave those behind. Far too many people are paralyzed by the fear of failure. Much like Mark Twain wrote, "The cat having sat on a hot stove lid will not sit on a hot stove lid again. But he won't sit on a coal stove lid either." And a lot of us are like that. We are afraid to try and to do things for the fact that we may think that we may fail. As we move on into this new year in 2022, we need to look past or beyond our failures to future successes. We need to forget our victories and our achievements. I think of the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost when over 3,000 people were added to the church. That was victory. That was a great achievement. And they could have said, "We don't need any more people for the church. We have enough. 3,000 people is more problem than we can handle. So why go look for more?" But the Bible says, daily in the temple, in the marketplace, they went out and they shared the gospel. And people were added to the church daily. There is nothing wrong in having pride in what God has allowed us to have. If it's not a gloating pride, and we recognize that it was God who was the author of that success that we achieve or we have in life. But we can't just sit there and just say, okay, I'm going to just gloat over this and taking it all in for what it is. We need to forget our victories and our achievements and move on. We need to forget our worries. Anybody in here worry? Worry especially about the things you have no control over? You remember the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? We need to not worry. As someone says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And a lot of people fit into that category. And we need to just learn how to put those things behind us. And especially when people worry about things that they have no control. Let's put this into perspective. There are 773,672 words in the Bible. Now, don't ask me how I know that. It's just one of those things that you read and you come across and you yourself wonder, well, how did they find that out? The word worry is used 13 times compared to trust. That is used 126 times. Faith used 270 times. Belief used 226 times. And love used 551 times. If we want to narrow it even more closer, the 13 times that worried is used, 11 times we are told not to worry. And the other 2 times ask the question, why do you worry? And the other one says, tomorrow will worry about itself. I love this story that I have told before, the story about this bishop who had this irrational fear that his legs were going to become paralyzed and just numb from his waist down. And one night while he was out to dinner with some friends he reached out and he pinched his leg and he shouted, just like I said, I have no feelings on my leg. The lady sitting next to him said, if it's any comfort to you, the leg that you just pinched was mine. At least, the least we could do, let's make sure we pinch the right leg so that we know what is really happening. Press toward the goal. What was his goal? And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. All of us are on that journey. We are pressing on. We want to get to that price. And how do we do it? I don't know about you folks, and I hope you do. Set yourself a devotional time in your life, whether it could be in the morning or in the evening or sometime in the day. A good way to start is the daily bread, which we have. The date is there. It gives you a scripture. And after you read the scripture, it gives you an explanation of what is taking place. But have a time of Bible reading and prayer. Very, very important. Set aside that time. Attend church regularly. His word says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And folks, if you are not If you don't have the COVID and you are not deathly ill, get into God's house to worship Him, to give Him honor, to give Him praise. Make a commitment that that will do. Church attendance, put first and foremost, it brings honor to God. Church attendance provides an opportunity for learning and for growth. Church attendance provides support and encouragement to others. Regular church attendance opens the door for excitement and enthusiasm. Just like what we have sometimes here after church, and people, you see people in different corners talking and sharing, and that's what it's all about. And that's what happens when God's people get together. Be a faithful steward. All that we have is a loan to us by God. He wants us to be a good steward. Be a good steward of our time. Not just coming to church on Sunday morning, or being in a care group or other activities within the body. But what other time do you give to God out of the time that He has given to us? Be a faithful steward in your talents. All of us have at some kind of talent or gift, and God wants us to use that talent for Him, whatever it is. It might be something small, but I'm sure that you can use that to touch the hearts and lives of other people. Be a good steward in your tithes and in your offering. And we want to thank you guys for being faithful stewards in your giving to the church. And God promised that He would bless us. His word says that I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there would not be room enough to receive it. And folks, if I know my English, which I don't know a whole lot of, but He says, I'll pour you out a blessing. And that is singular. A blessing, that there would not be room enough to receive it. Here is one. Be a faithful steward of your body. What do you put into your body? What do you eat? What do you drink? And you know, we need to start thinking, because Paul even says that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And you know, a lot of people live on what they call junk food and stuff like that. We have to make a determination that, you know, and I say that to you in as much as I say it to myself, that we need to be good stewards of our body. Give priority to God and His kingdom. We are all busy people. Some of you go in every which direction: job, children, school, extracurricular activities, things like that. And if we are not careful, God is lost in the equation, and He's left out. Ask God to use you this year to lead maybe one person or one family to Jesus Christ. And we can help you to show you how you can do that, how you can help someone. I'm trusting God for a great year in 2022, not only for myself, my family, or church family, for the people that we know. So as we think about it, of leaving the past behind, I don't know how some of those things, what may have happened to you and things like that. But maybe some people still have difficulty doing that. Can we find a way and believe God and believe His word that He would be right there? His word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And even though we feel that we are inadequate to make that happen, He says that He will be right there by His grace to help you put those things behind. Don't carry that with you any longer. Just leave it behind by the grace of God and trust Him for victory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you again for your Spirit's presence. And I pray, O God, that you would watch over us as we think, as we contemplate of leaving the past behind. What freedom and what liberty we would have when we can just let go of all of those things and situation and focus more on you. And just right now, as some people may be praying and naming some things that they want to leave behind, give victory, give freedom, give liberty. We thank you. And help, O God, that as we leave this place today, we would feel like a burden has been lifted from our shoulders. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.